If you, who make less than $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime. $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime. $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime.
There you go. That is the tax man in chief, Barack Obama, promising middle class in quotes, Americans, that they won't see their taxes increase one dime. The Supreme Court has called the Obamacare tax the biggest tax in U.S. history. Exactly what it is. The president was in office less than 2 months of his first term before he taxed cigarettes, doubling their price, doubling the price of cigarettes on middle-class families. The president's energy policies have increased the cost of food, some segments of the food industry by as much as two times. Energy prices have been driven up, and your taxes, if you make less than $250,000 a year, have not gone up one dime. We're here tonight to talk about the fair tax, as we do every Saturday night. First of all, let's run down a little bit of the news in Missouri. About a week and a half, 2 weeks, the Missouri legislature is going to meet with in their annual September meeting for a veto session. The governor, who doesn't govern, has vetoed a record number of bills passed by your legislature, by your representatives. You can see those if you go to house.mo.gov and senate.mo.gov to see the various bills that he's vetoed, along with his veto letters. But tonight we're just going to talk about the reduction in Missouri income tax, the first reduction in Missouri income tax in almost 100 years, vetoed by the governor. The non-governor is traveling around the state now, pulling an Obama, warning people that if this tax cut, which really doesn't cut taxes much at all, passes, that your children won't be educated, your fires won't be put out, your bank robbers won't be caught, all kinds of calamity will come. The state of Missouri will almost cease to exist as an entity if the lawmakers overturn this. Meanwhile, you've got Speaker Jones running around saying that he does not know if he'll even bring it to a vote. He doesn't have the support. The Repubs have just come out of their caucus, supposedly quote-unquote focused, and we'll see what they're focused on. But here we go. Speaker Jones, you owe us a vote on this. I don't care if you don't have the votes to pass it. You owe us a vote where we get to see who's on our side and who's not on our side. And if you don't give us that vote, you clearly are not on our side. Pass or fail, we get to see who's good and who's bad. It's that simple. You owe us a vote on this. Wow, the rodeo clown thing just keeps going on and on and on, doesn't it? NAACP is calling for a federal investigation of the rodeo clown incident. Peter Kinder made a complete fool of himself on Rodeo Clown Day with his tweets out that this was totally unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. This is not what we expect from the state of Missouri, blah, blah, blah. We're better than this, blah, blah, blah. Do I sound enough like Claire McCaskill to you, blah, blah, blah. Vote for me, please. Given a chance this week, now, I don't know what the lieutenant governor's been doing around the rest of the state as far as going around and talking, but he was on morning talk show here locally day before yesterday, Thursday. No, in fact, it was Friday. Yeah, same day as Tom March and John Lilly from Locke and Smith were on. So it was, in fact, Friday. And he had every chance in the world. I mean, this was his chance to say, oh, you know, I screwed up. I overreacted. I got caught up in the moment. But as most politicians don't ever back down from some stupid thing they've done, he continues to defend his position that the Obama clown was disrespectful. I never heard Peter Kinder speak up, not once, about George Bush masks on Saturday Night Live or any Bush bashing that went on during the Bush years. Never once did I hear Peter Kinder say that that was totally unacceptable and was disrespectful to. Why? Where was he on this disrespectful stand? I mean, he's had plenty of chance to come out and make a stand on disrespecting the leader of the free world. Just odd enough that this time that the disrespect, quote unquote, is directed at the non-leader of the free world, that suddenly he's gotten a little bit scrupulous about disrespecting. I never heard Peter Kinder use the word racist, which is a word that's been bandied about and of course is what the NAACP is looking for a federal investigation over. I guess if the president of the United States is black, then putting on a mask of the President of the United States is racist. But if the President of the United States is white, then it's perfectly all right. If the President of the United States is black, then I guess calling him out for his stupid policies, for his failed policies, for his socialist policies, for his anti-American policies. I guess if he's black, then that is racist. But if he's white, then standing up in front of Americans and saying that he's unpatriotic, well, that's all right. You know, standing up saying what George Bush did by borrowing money from China and doubling the national debt is unpatriotic. Well, that's, you know, that's okay. That's just part of what a person has to put up with when they put themselves in that position of president. But if in half the time, Barack Obama should quadruple the national debt, doubling what George Bush did, doubling down on George Bush's unpatriotic behavior, and he gets called on it, well, shit, you're a racist. Oh, man. Oh, man, the life of a rodeo clown, I guess. Suddenly there is some Democrats in the Congress and in the House of Representatives, in the Senate and the House, that are up in arms with the president. The NSA announced this week that, and quite proudly, in fact, that it may have violated people's privacy several thousand times in its haste to protect us. In the rush to protect Americans, Americans' privacy rights may have been violated in contrary to the law, even contrary at times to the rulings of the FISA court. One of these times, at least, NSA went to FISA with a program that they had been running already for 2 months, only to have FISA say that that program was unconstitutional and went beyond the pale of what they're allowed to do. So count that as a part of the 1,000 or of thousands of times. And now NSA is coming down to defend themselves by saying, instead of what they were saying 6 weeks ago when they were saying, oh, you know, and we don't gather that much information. Now they're coming down and saying, but we can't possibly home in on your specific phone call because there's just so much information we've gathered that we can't, you know, we have trouble even sorting out what's important and what's not important. So the Democrats now are joining the backlash on this thing that that you and I have been involved in a long time. It's about time because, you know, you on the right and us in the libertarian camp, we have recognized for some time that George Bush and John Ashcroft kicked this football off and that Obama just doubled down is all there is to it. We've never been hesitant to criticize or to recognize the source of this thing. The Democrats, though, and the conservatives, or the liberals, the socialists, the progressives, they have long, after criticizing Bush slash Ashcroft for the Patriot Act, they have long been defending President Obama for his acts of protection, for the acts of protection carried on by his administration, for the doubling down of George Bush's policies. But now that the Congress and the House of Representatives have found out that not only were there thousands of violations in the past several years, but that NSA, in knowing that there were thousands of violations, actually sat under oath in hearing after hearing and lied to them. Got their little rancor stirred up there. And again, You know, this goes right back to what Washington, D.C. is all about, because what Nancy Pelosi is pissed off about is not even as much the fact that these thousands of incidents occurred. What she's pissed off about is that someone from NSA lied to her in a hearing, and you ought to be pissed off about that, but understand the hypocrisy of the fact that it doesn't bother her much at all that they violated us 1,000 times. It's all about the power. I'm more powerful than you, so you can't lie to me. Now, I can lie to you, but you can't lie to me. NSA believes they're more powerful than Congress, and they can lie to the Congress, but the Congress can't lie to them. So what this boils down to is two little boys in the elementary school bathroom, if you know what I mean, and nothing more than that. On the same tone, and this is a wrap on the news, this week, Gmail made the announcement that none of its users have ever had any expectation of privacy. I have a friend who's a Gmail user. He went and read the fine print on the thing. You know. Every time you sign up for something, you click this "I agree to the terms and conditions" thing. You do it when you go buy something from Apple. You do it when you sign up for Gmail. You do it when you sign up for the Wall Street Journal subscription. I agree to the terms. You never read the shit. You just click the little button that says "I agree to the terms." Sure enough, though, when you go into Gmail's terms and read what you agreed to, you understand that your email, your correspondence has no privacy attached to it. In fact, Gmail routinely checks your email and uses it to target advertising to you. So it really isn't as though, and all the providers, AT&T, I'm sure they all do the same thing. I haven't gone and read my AT&T, I agreed to this thing yet, but I'd be confident that they all do the same thing because they all do this targeted marketing. It's all part of the game. But it sure makes a hypocrisy out of all of these cell phone providers whining and bemoaning the privacy of their subscribers when the government comes to them and says, "Oh, you need to turn over these things to us." You've got these cell phone companies, these providers, these ISPs saying, "Oh, no, we can't do that. Our clients have a right to privacy," only to find out now that in their eyes, you never had a right to privacy. And, okay, there you go. What's the world coming to? Tonight, we're going to talk about the prebate. We've talked a little bit about the fair tax. We're going to come back from break and review where we've come from here, where we've come to get from here. And then later in the show, we're going to get into the prebate, what it is and why it is. A little misunderstanding from a lot of people, especially opponents of the fair tax, who kind of make up stuff once in a while to create a talking point here and there. But a little bit of misunderstanding about why we have the prebate. A little bit of misunderstanding about what the prebate is and does and how it does it. It's almost no cost to the government to administer the prebate program. And we'll get into that. And then if time permits, we'll move on into our next segment, which is going to be the next chapter in how the fair tax is going to increase the lifestyle of an American. Last week, we did a real-life example of how you make real money, and we're going to review that real quickly before we move on. We're going to get right into that after the break. Thanks for tuning in. It's 347 347-677-1835. It's 347-677-1835.
You talk if you haven't got a brain.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Okay, here we are. We're back. Yeah, that's it. Join Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I want to always thank Missouri Grassroots Coalition for these radio spots, for providing this time for us to talk to you about the fair tax, for providing all the time that we use on Mondays to talk to you about the Article 5 convention that we need to call, the Article 5 Amendment Convention. We'll touch on that a little later as we get a preview of next week to come on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Join Missouri Grassroots Coalition by going to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Bring your group along and help out. There's support there for your group, and Missouri Grassroots Coalition needs your group. 347-677-1835. Okay, we started this several weeks ago by just reviewing where the income tax came from, and what are the evils of the income tax, why it was a bad idea to start with. We talked about how the income tax in and of itself is a creator just by its very existence of the envy and spite between the classes. How the income tax is a creation of the same people who created class, and how we were never going to get rid of class until we get rid of the idea of taxing people's income, of taxing what people make. We talked about how the income tax is costing America a lot of money. Millionaires are fleeing the United States of America for other countries to the tune of $800,000 a year. Businesses are leaving the United States for more friendly environments. The millionaires and billionaires who are here are quite rightfully and clearly, wisely sheltering their money overseas. Earning as much money as they can overseas in investments so as not to be encumbered by the crazy, crazy tax system in the United States. Meanwhile, the average person is watching as the government confiscates up to 25 to 30% of their weekly income and cuts into their buying power, the average person and the average company, a small business, tolerates year after year after year the power grabs from Washington, D.C. as they use the income tax code to either punish those who behave in a way that is not approved by the government or reward those that behave in a way that is approved by the government. The income tax leads to and feeds the crony capitalism that goes on in Washington, D.C., the revolving door of Washington, D.C. politics, the quid pro quo of large donations to parties and candidates. It's all in all an evil system. And one of the worst evils is that with the withholding and with the pass-through corporate tax, the majority of what you pay is hidden from you to a point where you are paying these vast, vast sums of money to the federal government, and you haven't even a clue from one day to the next exactly how much of this extortion is accumulating against you, about how much of this confiscation is going on. It's tons. For most of you, it's as much as 50% of everything you make right now. When you add what's withheld from your pay, when you add that together with the check that you write at the end of the year, add that together with the 22% of everything that you buy retail that is nothing more than pass-through federal tax on everyone in the chain of development for that product. You pay the federal government as much as 50% of what you make. That is, if you make $150,000 a year, and it is if you make $21,000 a year. So we're going to review just quickly something that an exercise we did last week with a person who makes $600 a week and is withheld at a rate of what you would expect for a $600 check at about $140 a week. If you make $600 a week, you make $31,200 a year. The federal government withholds $7,280 of that. And so that leaves you with a bring-home pay of $23,920. We did all this last week. We're just reviewing really quickly. Hang on with me. We said that if you implement the fair tax, the federal government withholds nothing from your paycheck. So if you work for $31,200 a year salary, you're going to bring home $31,200 a year. We showed you that if you take that $7,280 and put it in the bank, that's $7,280 that last year the federal government withheld, and you just put that in a piggy bank in your bedroom. You don't even have to earn any interest on it to recognize what we're talking about here. Put it in a piggy bank in your bedroom and live on the same $23,920 that you brought home last year. Spend that $23,920. Now, if you do that, for every $100 you spend, you have to dip into your piggy bank $1.40. Because for every $100 you spend, quite rightly, under a sales taxed revenue system, for every $100 you spend, you're going to spend $1.40 more than you spent last year. So every $100 is going to cost you $1.40 more than it did last year. So each time you spend $100, go to your bank, your piggy bank in your bedroom, and get $1.40 out of the piggy bank. At the end of the year, you've spent your entire $23,920, the same amount you spent last year. You spent it all. You didn't buy anything used. You spent it all on full taxed stuff. Your whole $23,920. You've gone to your piggy bank. You've gone to your piggy bank for $334.88 in that amount of time. For $1.40 every $100 you spend, you've gone to your piggy bank for $334. Now, you still have left in your piggy. Now, remember, you've bought everything you bought last year. You've lived exactly the same lifestyle you lived last year. You've done exactly the same things you did last year. You've eaten the same food. You've driven the same amount of miles. You've had the same entertainment. You've had the same cell phone service. You've had the same cable service. You've had the same internet service. You've done everything you did last year exactly the way you did it last year for exactly the same amount of money, and you still have $6,945 in your piggy bank. That's the cost to you of the current tax code and federal withholding. A cost that you can recoup, that you can put in your piggy bank by the simple adoption of the fair tax. Okay, so now we're going to talk about something that increases the standard of living of all Americans even a little more. We're going to talk about the prebate. The prebate exists for one reason and one reason only. And that reason is to ensure that no American pays a sales tax for any of the basic necessities of life. So what you're going to hear is, I don't think Americans ought to pay sales tax for food and medicine. Oh, I don't think Americans ought to pay sales tax for rent. And the prebate exists to make sure that no American does. Here's what the prebate is. There is a standard poverty level calculated every year by Health and Human Services. Now, I don't know who's going to calculate it 10 years from now when we get rid of the outfit called Health and Human Services. But for right now, there is a poverty level, and that is the level that a certain number of people in your family have to spend just for the basic necessities of life, for food and rent and electricity, for some clothing. That poverty level is recalculated every year. For 2013, for a one-adult household with two children, that's a single mom with two kids, it was $19,530. $19,530. So HHS says a family of three, that's a mother and two kids, needs $19,530 to eat, to pay for the heat, to have a place to live, to buy a little bit of clothing, to buy some medicine. That was 2013 numbers. So the prebate is based on that. And what the prebate is the tax you would pay if you spend that much money. So that for a mother with two children, that prebate is $4,492 a year. So that's what that mother pays in taxes when she spends that $19,530. Like an income tax refund, the prebate is a sales tax refund, because when she goes out and spends that $19,530, she pays sales tax at the grocery store. She pays sales tax at the drugstore. She pays sales tax at the doctor's office, just like you and me and anybody else. The prebate is a sales tax refund to make sure that she doesn't pay any tax up to that $19,000 whatever dollars. So they take the tax that she spent on that $19,350 worth of spending, and they give it back to her, but in prebate form, they give it to her before she spends it, not after she spends it. Now, see, the federal government withholds money from you every month, and they hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. And then 4 months into the next year, if you've got anything coming back, if they've taken away from you more than they're entitled to, if they have confiscated more of your money than they feel themselves legally entitled to do, they send you some money back. Well, a lot of good that did you. All of those weeks that you needed that money to buy medicine and food. I mean, if you're a single mother working for minimum wage, you needed that money. You needed that money in June when the kid got sick. You needed that money in July when mom dropped by unexpectedly and you had to buy a little bit of extra food for 3 days. You needed that money. You could have easily scrimped maybe other weeks and put a little bit of extra back to pay your tax at the end of the year. And yes, if you're a single mother with two children, you pay tax every year. We're going to get to that. The prebate takes care of every American family to ensure that for their family structure, they do not get taxed on anything they buy up to the level of necessity. Now, the mother of two, who works minimum wage for 40 hours a week, she can go out just like everyone else and buy untaxed groceries and go untaxed to the doctor's office and go buy untaxed school clothes and untaxed books, and maybe make an untaxed trip to the Dairy Queen once in a while, and buy untaxed gasoline. All of the things that she needs to provide for her children are tax-free. Now, one of the complaints, though, about the fair tax from the naysayers is that it's fair. They don't say that it's fair. They call it unfair. But it is fair now that this waiving of sales tax for everything that you buy up to that level is tax-free applies to everyone. It applies to the millionaire and billionaire. It applies to the $100,000 a year retail store manager. It applies to the $200,000 a year attorney or doctor. And it applies to the minimum wage mother of two children. But they have to make this sound unfair because they have to try to hold on to the argument that a sales tax in and of itself is unfair to this little mother. It's kind of a, you hear it. I mean, you hear it every day. Oh, them damn Republicans, they want to throw grandma over the cliff by killing Obamacare. That's basically what this sales tax is unfair to X, Y, or Z amounts to. And for that reason, they've got to take this prebate program and give it all kinds of evil names and all kinds of evil intense when in fact it has one purpose, and that is to make sure that of the basic necessities of life, no American pays sales tax. Now listen, I said no American pays sales tax. This is very, very important to understand, because there's no prebate for a tourist who comes into the country and buys tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff. They're not an American family. They don't get a check every month. There's no prebate. There's no break for an illegal alien and a family of five. They need to go back to Mexico if they want tax breaks. They don't get a prebate check every month, but they pay tax for everything they buy now. This is the beauty of the fair tax system. It penalizes you for not being a patriotic American. And if you are a patriotic American, you get to participate equally in the system to everybody else. You know, the mother of two will never pay tax on any of the necessities of life, and neither will the millionaire. But if the mother of two gets a windfall, gets a bonus from her boss that bumps her income up high enough that she can actually go out and do some discretionary spending, she gets to participate at the same rate as you and me and the millionaire and billionaire. Exactly the same rate. Totally fair. Totally evil. Totally fair. Totally flat. No evil there at all. We're gonna run through an example, kind of like the one we ran through last week, and we're gonna actually show how this works.
If you drive a car,
sense calling it anything else. I mean, it is a tax, so and it's a fairly regressive tax. An awful lot of people in Iowa and in Oregon and Washington and Utah and places where we are, they're very poor people. They're going to pay a lot more money for electricity.
If you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
People need to realize is economics, you know, is not about numbers. It's about humans. It's a very significant component to what makes us human. It's a very different program. It's called Getting There From Here, and it's about building a roadmap to restoring constitutional governance in the United States. It's about how we can win elections nationwide with conservative small government principles. It's about how to build and broaden a coalition, a majority coalition that's committed to having a smaller government. And then the second night I call dismantling the monstrosity. And it's about how practically to shrink the federal government, I mean really shrink the federal government via the Republican Party. But we need a much, much smarter Republican Party, and one that's not scared of its own shadow. We need to have people who are seriously committed to constitutional principles, to family values, to a smaller government, running the Republican Party. And we need to have strategies which is what the whole seminar is about, where we can make sure the benefits of smaller government are going straight to people. If you remember my first seminar, I love analogies. And in the first one, I talk a lot about cancer, how the government has really become a cancer that's consuming our economy. And in this one, I talk a lot about alcoholism, which is a very different disease. But politicians get to Washington and they become alcoholics. And, you know, they can't understand how they could do anything but grow the government. And, you know, it's like we need to have an intervention with the government. We need to say, you know, you're out of control. You are an alcoholic. And you tell that to your congressman, and he's like, well, you know, we're gonna phase out my alcohol consumption over the next 10 years. But, you know, first, you know, I just ran out of scotch, so first thing I got to do is go to the liquor store. And then when I come back, we can talk about how we're going to, you know, phase out my drinking problem. That's where most people in Washington are holding right now. So it's about the necessity of eliminating government programs instead of cutting them. Because when you cut government programs, they just grow faster. The great divide in the Republican Party seems to be between a few hundred Republicans in Washington, on one hand, and everybody else. The millions and millions of Republicans all over the country really want to have a smaller government.
Folks, you just heard Lauren Spivak, the free market warrior. He's returning to St. Charles County here on August 29th and 30th at the Family Vision Library for two nights of a free seminar so that you can learn about capitalistic values and free market principles. Bring your kids, bring your family, bring your friends, and join us at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri, on August 29th and 30th at 6:30 p.m. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. For information on this event, it's all there on the calendar page, and I'll see you at the Family Vision Library on August 29th.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Once we recognize that kids do not belong to their parents, that they actually belong to Ms. Perry, then we'll all make better decisions. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. That's August 29th and 30th, Lauren Spivak. I wouldn't miss that. If you live up there in the St. Charles, St. Louis area, be there for that. This guy knows his stuff, man. He knows about free market capitalism. He knows what kind of a economic explosion could be loosed if we get back to our roots, get back to free market capitalism, and learn how business is supposed to work once more. And then I want to replay this thing that leads into the commercial, that particular commercial.
If you drive a car,
pack the street.
If you drive to city,
I'll pack your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll pack the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll pack your
food. No sense calling it anything else. I mean, it is a tax, so and it's a fairly regressive tax. Awful lot of people in Iowa and in Oregon and Washington and Utah and places where we are, they're very poor people. They're going to pay a lot more money for electricity.
You make under two.
That, if you don't recognize the voice, was Obama cheerleader Warren Buffett talking about how Obama's energy policies are basically a tax passed on, once again, by the energy companies to the consumer, and how that tax is costing poor and middle-class Americans a lot of money. And that from his champion, who promises you once more that if you make less than $200,000 a year, your taxes will not increase one dime. Okay, look, let's look at, get out your pencils and paper again. We're going to do an exercise kind of like the one we did last week. And, you know, I try to stay away from the numbers sufficiently to keep from putting people to sleep or to keep from sounding in some way professorial so that you get turned off by this thing, but it's very important that you get these kinds of things, because as you go out into the world preaching the gospel of the fair tax, you're going to run into people who just say off the top of their head some kind of crap that they read in someone else's talking point about how the fair tax hurts the single mom with two kids who's working at McDonald's, and how the fair tax is really the unfair, the so-called fair tax is really the unfair tax, because it taxes people who currently don't have a tax liability. They'll even contend that it does this at the expense of the rich people, that it's a rich people's tax, and that poor people are paying the bills while the rich people skate. And nothing could be further from the truth, but I don't ever want you to go into that discussion with just a couple of talking points from a Saturday night show. I want you to go into those discussions. That's why we went through this exercise last week. I went ahead and posted this exercise online for you to copy and paste and take with you and do over and over again until you knew exactly how the numbers work, so that when you go out into the world preaching the gospel of the fair tax and someone comes up to you with some of this preposterous bullshit, that you have the numbers that you can actually go through the exercises, if they're interested in the truth, and show them how it works. Show them that it is fair, that it works for everyone. We used a average middle class family last week. Now we're going to use what detractors like to call the poorest of the poor. We're going to take a single mom, two kids, deadbeat dad doesn't pay a dime. She works 40 hours a week in a minimum wage job. Minimum wage in Missouri is $7.35, so do that math real quick. Get your calculator. $7.35 times 40 hours, the woman makes $294 a week. That's what she earns. The federal government withholds $30. Now, it's easy to already have closed your mind and say, yeah, but she's going to get that back, because she's not. She's not. The majority of that $30, the almost all of that $30, is the 6.5% federal Social Security and Medicaid tax that she will never get back, that they are going to keep. So they confiscate $30 of her $294, leaving her $264 a week to spend. If you're doing this annually, that's $1,560 a year that they confiscate from this single mom with two kids who is eking by on one minimum wage job. She's bringing home $264 a week. She spends every dime of that for the basic necessities. She spends every dime of that for food for two children, for heat and electricity, a little gas to get back and forth from work. So recapping her situation, she makes $15,288 a year. She gives the government $1,560 a year. After she gets her rebate, she paid the government $994 a year. They kept $994 a year. And that leaves her with including her income tax refund, that leaves her with $13,728 a year to spend. Okay. Put the fair tax in place. Remember, she's got $13,728 a year to spend for two children. Now, after the fair tax, she still makes $294 a week. but she brings home $294 a week. In addition, her prebate is $86 a week. So, if she takes that money and puts it in the bank, as we did before, and goes out and spends the $264 a week that she spent last year, exactly the same food, exactly the same clothing, exactly the same heat, exactly the same electricity, exactly the same everything, all on taxable stuff. She didn't buy anything at Goodwill. She didn't buy anything used. She spends her entire $264 a week on taxable stuff. She pays $79.20 in tax. If she spends the whole thing on taxable stuff, she spends $79.20 a week. So she's got part of her $86 prebate left. And she's got all of the $30 left that the government withheld from her last year. And she spent the same amount. She's bought exactly the same thing she bought last year. At the end of the year, she's bought everything she bought last year. She's maintained exactly the same standard of living. And she's got $2,874 in the bank. That's how much money the current income tax structure was costing this poor woman a year. $2,874. She's increased her lifestyle. $2,800. She can leave that in the bank for these two kids' college education and maintain the same lifestyle she has always maintained. She can take it out and spend it. She's got enough there for 4 trips to Silver Dollar City. We'll make it 2 trips where she stays Saturday and Sunday and spends overnight with the kids in a cheap hotel. Probably 40 movies for the kids. And enough left in the bank for a nice run to JCPenney's for new school clothes for 2 kids. After she feeds them and buys their medicine and takes them to the doctor once in a while. So with this money, this poor lady who the libs cry about having to choose between medicine and going to the doctor and food, with this money she can take these kids to the doctor 20 times each. By simply eliminating the income tax and her relying on the sales tax as the method for funding America, a revenue neutral 23% sales tax makes this woman $2,874 a year. And that $2,874 a year, she can hold her head up because it's her money. There's not a dime of welfare here. That $2,874 is her hard-earned money that she now has in her pocket instead of it being in Uncle Sam's pocket. That $2,874 is money she worked for. There's no welfare there in that $2,874. There's no food stamps there in that $2,874. She's lived exactly the same lifestyle she lived last year. And she's got almost $3,000 in her pocket of her own hard-earned money. Not of someone else's money. What a lifestyle increase for every American, for every possible American who's willing to work, what an increase in lifestyle just from eliminating the income tax and instituting the fair tax on an individual earned money level. Now, we're going to talk in the weeks to come, or maybe even later tonight if we get time, about other things that will further increase her lifestyle. Last week, we talked about how just not having the money withheld every week increases your lifestyle, saves you money. Now we've talked about how the prebate added to that further increases your lifestyle by simply ensuring that every American doesn't pay tax on the basic necessities of life. There's no welfare here. There's no you're taking other people's money involved in this $2,800 that she saved. There's just you take this money that you earned and you keep it. And then we'll talk about other ways that this increases lifestyle even more. More jobs, better paying jobs, more business, even cheaper prices. All as a result of dumping the income tax system and adopting the fair tax. 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I don't see any method at all.
On September 15, 1787, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia took up debate on whether or not to allow amendments to the new Constitution and, if so, what method of amending should be adopted. Initially, it was proposed that only the legislature could make an amendment. Quoting from James Madison's notes of that very day, Colonel Mason thought the plan of amending the Constitution exceptionable and dangerous, as the proposing of amendments is in both the nodes to depend in the first immediately, in the second ultimately, on Congress. No amendments of the proper kind would ever be obtained by the people if the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case. Unquote. There followed a strenuous debate and many propositions, motions, votes, and refinements that arrived at the article as it exists today, giving states and the people the power to meet to amend the Constitution with no regard for the legislature or executive. The time that Mason foresaw, the time of oppressive national government, has arrived. Join us on Monday night in the Hour of Truth as we explore this method of peaceful revolution. We'll discuss how, when, and why. And we will be glad to hear your opinions on exactly what we need to do to fix the issues we face today using Article 5 of the Constitution. Can we? Will we take our government by the horns, wrestle it to the ground, and return our republic to a government that serves the states and the people? Let's talk about it. Mondays, 7 p.m., the Hour of a Truth. Call and participate on the studio line 347-677-1835.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people. shall not perish from the earth.
Okay, we're going to review here quickly. That's a lot of information for one night. I don't want to overwhelm you. We're not going to move into the next chapter because we don't have time to do it justice tonight remaining. And I don't want to try to do too much at one time. This is very, very, very important that you understand this prebate. As you go out and try to talk to people about the fair tax, as you go out and try to talk to people about what this can do for the country, it is incredibly important that you have these facts embedded in your mind. I mean, take these exercises and work them. Take them for any circumstance. Any circumstance. Take a family of four, a mother, a father, and two kids, a mother, a father, and three kids with two minimum wage jobs. Figure out what they make. Figure out what they bring home. Figure out what they pay the federal government in tax, not forgetting the 6.5% withheld from both of their paychecks that is actually kept by the federal government, that is never part of their refund. Then take the exercise and draw a line and say, okay, the fair tax is instituted. Now they make this much money. They bring home this much money. Here's what they spent last year. If they spend that this year, they're going to pay XYZ in tax, use the 22% reduction in retail prices, the 23% sales tax, and you will not fail to find out that this family's increased its standard of living by 10 or 12%. It just works in every case. In every case. And that brings us back to the question we ask toward the end of the session every week. How can the federal government continue to survive if they were taken $3,000 from this poor lady last year and they're not taking it this year? And the answer is now everyone is taxed. Everyone's taxed. The illegal immigrant is taxed. The illegal operator is taxed. The mafioso is taxed. The hookers and the pimps are taxed. The auto thieves are taxed. The drug lords are taxed. Everyone who buys a loaf of bread is taxed. Everyone who buys a new car is taxed. Everyone who buys a new yacht is taxed. Every illegal immigrant is taxed. Every tourist to the United States is taxed. All those people that don't get taxed now because we're taxing income, and you're paying for the services we provide for them, they're all taxed now equal to you. Equally to you. This new flat sales tax is equally applied to every person who buys something. And in the end, everyone has more money. It really is that simple. Do these exercises. You can't convince yourself otherwise if you honestly do these exercises. I'll post this exercise that we worked tonight online tomorrow. Keep it, work it, and work it, and work it, so that when you go out to convert people to this fair system, you can talk about what it will do for that person, how it will help that person, regardless of their circumstances, how it will help America and Americans, regardless of their circumstances, how everybody's life is improved by dumping the income tax and adopting the fair tax. Everybody's life is improved by dumping the income tax and adopting the fair tax. It can't miss. If you do these exercises and do them until you can go out and do them for people in a conversation, you cannot help but yourself being a winner of souls for the fair tax. You can go out with confidence and preach the gospel of the fair tax. I want to thank Missouri Grassroots Coalition one more time for providing this airtime for us, and then I want to tell you about what goes on at Missouri Grassroots Radio. Every Monday night, I come back with the Hour of Truth, and the Hour of Truth is from now until we actually get something done to be subtitled the Article 5 Show. We're talking exclusively now on the Hour of Truth on Monday nights about an Article 5 Amendment Convention. About how we get this thing rolling, how we get this thing moving. I would recommend a book by Mark Levin called The Liberty Amendments. He's finally climbed on board to this thing that us lovers of liberty have been talking about for years now, some years. We dispel the myths. We come out and deal with, I don't want to say myth, because myth is such a harsh word, and it may well be that it's not a myth, in fact, but we want to dispel the fear that any kind of a amendment convention could be used to turn the United States into the Soviet Union. We want to talk about the kinds of changes we need to make to the sacred document that is the founding of our country, the thing that we all hold dear to our hearts, all of us except the current president, who believes that it's just a piece of rubbish that he can avoid anytime he wants to. And we try to get ideas. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to get people on fire about the necessity that right now we start screaming for demanding what the authors of the Constitution gave us as a remedy for the problems that we see today. The problems that they foresaw. They foresaw what's happening today. That's why they were so afraid of this powerful central government. That's why they created the three branches. That's why they created the checks and balances. And they foresaw that thing breaking down due to the nature of human beings. And they gave us an out. And it's damn near time to use that out rather than throw up our hands and just quit. Tuesday nights, then, after my Monday night tirade, along comes a little quieter show. It's a great show. Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, Cynthia Davis comes along with Homefront. Cynthia is a Constitution Party candidate for office in the United States, in the state of Missouri. Very conservative show. anything but libertarian, so it's a little break from my Monday night and Saturday night rantings. Cynthia is also just a hoot, just entertaining, fun to listen to, fun to call and talk to, fun to get involved with. All of these shows have the same studio, 347-677-1835. So write that down and keep it handy for when you tune in on Tuesday nights to Homefront. Cynthia would love to put you on the air and let you banter about what's going on at Homefront on Tuesday nights. Wednesday night comes along Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante. I've been keeping up with how Lisa's doing. So this week she'll be bemoaning somewhat the loss of her youngest child, who's now off to school. It's that time of the year, and I know how that goes. My youngest left the nest some years back now. But I'm sure that will only last a couple of minutes, and then Lisa will get on with what's important, and that is a discussion, a candid discussion of what's wrong with the culture of progressivism and what's right with the culture of conservatism. And for her, it's about culture. It's about education. It's about what we teach our kids. It's about how we pass off our values to the next generation, how we keep those values from being degraded to the point where we're not even recognizable anymore. Still can't say what's coming on Thursday nights. I haven't been able to close that deal yet. So we'll put that off for at least another 4 or 5 days. Maybe by Monday night, I'll have an announcement on that. And then on Saturday, again next week, I'll be back with another version of the Fair Tax Show. We'll talk one more time about how we can increase the standard of living for Americans, how we can blow this economy through the roof, how we can see the kind of prosperity that America deserves because of her greatness. I'll come back in a minute and talk about one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go for tonight.
To fight for sands of fear too small. Be thankful I don't take it all.
If you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
It specifically said that it is not constitutional under the Commerce Clause. They said it is constitutional under the tax. And as to the question about raising taxes for the middle class, if I may, sir, let's just look at the record. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that in 2016, 4 million Americans will pay the mandate penalty or tax. 75% of those people will make less than $120,000 a year. And the CBO says between 2012 and 2021, those folks will pay $27 billion in additional taxes.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Because I'm the tax man. 94 cents per pack.
You make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
You heard it right there. You heard it right there. Not a single dime. He promised. Not a single dime. Okay. Real quick. Quick review of what we did tonight. We reviewed everything up to this point, where the income tax came from, why it's bad. We showed how for a moderate family earning a moderate income, it was an increase in lifestyle. We showed how for the very poorest family earning the least amount of income, it was an increase in lifestyle. It was a keeping of your own money. And using your own money the way you see fit. And then we reviewed the things that are upcoming on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Now, before I go, I do want to talk about this Secret Santa thing, because we're way behind the power curve this year on the Secret Santa. By this time last year, we were very close to our goal already, and we're nowhere near it. This year, the Secret Santa is the only thing Missouri Grassroots Coalition collects any money for. We don't collect money for anything else. We don't collect money for rallies. We don't collect money for literature. We don't collect money for this radio program, which costs money. We don't collect money for any of that. We all chip in and pay for that. We don't go out to you listeners. We don't go out to the MGC members and beg for money to do any of those things. What we do once a year is on Christmas Eve, we go out and we look for layaways that haven't been paid off. You know how Secret Santa works. And we go to the store. We look for layaways that have exclusively toys in them. And we pay those layaways off. And we call parents whose children would not have had those toys that were payments and payments behind on Christmas Eve. And we say, come to the store and get your child's toys. Take them home, wrap them up, put them under the tree. And we start this begging way early in the year, because we know how hard it is for you to give. And it's equally hard for us to beg at November and December, when all the other stuff starts hitting. Geez, I don't know if it's a state thing or if it's just Greene County, but Our property tax is due like the 10th of December or something for the year. How crazy is that on top of everything else, on top of the red buckets and the angel trees and the Toys for Tots, all worthy causes, not my property tax isn't a worthy cause, but all worthy causes. And so what we ask is that here in August, when you can do it without missing it so much, without it costing you so dearly, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button. Use the PayPal there to send us a little bit. Please, we're way behind the power curve. We need your help this year to make this Secret Santa another success. Year after year after year, we've been extremely blessed by you, the listeners, by you, our MGC members, by you people who believe that Americans don't need the government. Americans take care of Americans. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the fair tax. That's what we're talking about when we talk about personal responsibility, about this mother keeping her own money in her own pocket and taking care of herself. Contact me, David Court, DAVIDCORT, at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. If you have any questions, suggestions, David Court at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Follow us on Twitter. Go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Facebook. Get your input out there. Have your group join, and we'll talk to you on Monday night on the Hour of Truth when we talk about taking our government back using Article 5 of the United States Constitution the way the founders intended. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.